Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajagacharya Stotra Shata Shri Shimat His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajagacharya Stotra Shata Shri Shimat His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Dai Gaura Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naranchaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasan Tato Jayamudirayet Nasupraya Shudabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 6, Text 38. 37. Thank you. That's 37. I pronounced it wrong. I read the top of the page instead of the verse itself. Yeah. Okay. Ekanta labba vachaso nu pumsam shushloka maler guna vadam ahu shutes cha vidvan bir upakrit Upakrityam Kathashudyam Upasanga Prayogam Ekantalabha Vachaso Nupumsam Shushloka Maler Gunavada Mahur Shutesh Chavidva Birupa Kritayam Kata Sudayam Upasam Pramyoga Ikantalabha Vachaso Nupumsam Shushloka Moler Gunavadam Mahur Shutes Chachidvan Birupakritayam Kata Shudayam Upasam Pramyoga Ekantalabha Vachaso Nupumsam Shushloka Maler Gunavadam Ahur Shutes Chachidvan Birupakritayam Kata Shudayam Upasang from Yoga. Some from yogam. Labo vachaso napumsam. Shushloka maler gunavadam ahu. Shutesha vidva birupakritayam. Katasudhayam upasang prayogam. Nalhaba vachaso napumsam. Shute shavid van biril pakritayam. Nalaba pasaso nupumsam. Shushokam ulair gunavadam ahur. Shute shavid vamirupakritayam. Masayam upasam prayogam. Shavid vabiru vakritayam kadasudayam upasam prayogam ekandala bhava shasonupumsam shushrokam uler gunam vadamahu. Deshavid Babi Rupakatayam Dasudayam Sampraogam Hekanta, the one which has no comparison. Labba, gain. Vachasaha, by discussions. Nupumsam, after the Supreme Person. Shushloka, pious. Mulayar, activities. Gunavadam, glorification. Ahu, it is said, it is so said. Shute, of the ear. Cha, also. Vidvanbi, by the learned. Upakritayam, being so edited. Katasudayam, in the nectar of such a transcendental message. Upasang prayogam, serves the real purpose. Being nearer to. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The highest perfectional gain of humanity is to engage in discussions of the activities and glories of the pious actor. Such activities are so nicely arranged in writing by the greatly learned sages that the actual purpose of the ear is served just by being near them. Purport. The impersonalists are very much afraid of hearing the activities of the Lord because they think that the happiness derived from the transcendental situation of Brahman is the ultimate goal of life. They think that anyone's activity, even that of the personality of Godhead, is mundane. But the idea of happiness indicated in this verse is different because it relates to the activities of the Supreme Personality, who has transcendental qualities. The word gunavadam is significant because the qualities of the Lord in His activities and pastimes are the subject matter for the discussions of devotees. A rishi like Maitreya is certainly not interested in discussing anything pertaining to mundane qualities. Yet he says that the highest perfectional stage of transcendental realization is to discuss the Lord's activities. Srila Jiva Goswami therefore concludes that topics regarding the transcendental activities of the Lord are far beyond the transcendental realization of kevala happiness. These transcendental activities of the Lord are so arranged in writing by the great sages that simply by hearing of those narrations, one becomes perfectly self-realized, and the proper use of the tongue is also achieved. Srimad Bhagavatam is one of such great literatures, and the highest perfectional stage of life is attained simply by hearing and reciting its contents. Om Agyana Timidandasya Gananjana Shalakoya Chakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svam Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Ladita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharishatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dhinavando Jagatpate Gopeshva Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarumbischa Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Agisha Yashivarane Lakshmi Yashya Chavakshashi Yashyashte Yuryaye Samvittam Nishimma Mahamvaje. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says a verse, Vitaraga Bhayakrotam Matmaya Manupashita Bhavav Gyanam Tapasa Puta Mad Bhavam Agataha. This verse is a very interesting verse because it explains, Krishna is explaining that if one hears his pastimes, janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha, tvakva deham punanjanma, naiti mamiti sorjana. Krishna is explaining that one who understands the characteristics of my pastimes and understands the characteristics of my appearance no longer takes birth. And he goes on to explain this verse, that those who have taken shelter of these pastimes, they become freed from bhayam, krodha, and raka. So bhayam, the way Srila Prabhupada translates it, is completely unique to any other commentary from our previous acharyas. It's completely unique from any translation of a commentary of our previous acharyas. He explains that bhayam is fear of a personal conception of spirituality. You see, the living entity is in such a painful situation. Purusha prakriti stohi, bhunkte prakriti janguna, karanam guru sangosyat, sadasad yoni janmasu. The false ego is such a punishment for the living entity to undergo. And being under that punishment, he's completely forgetful of his original blissful nature in relationship to Krishna. And accepting this material body as the all-in-all, one decides to reject the idea of personality at all when it comes to any matters of spiritual realization. So this false ego, it's such an entanglement for the living entity, and it's such a source of misery for the living entity that the Srimad Bhagavatam explains that there is an ocean in the universe full of the tears of the living entities from the tears that they've cried from material existence. And this suffering that's come from material existence has simply come from the ahankara, the propensity to think that Ishvaraham aham bogi, that I'm the controller. And this becomes so crippling for the living entity that they just deny the idea of personal existence altogether. And then Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain krodham. So becoming frustrated with this misery, becoming fearful of this misery and wanting to become free from this fear, because the living entity is naturally abhayam, free from all fear. Srila Prabhupada explains that the living entity becomes inquisitive to understand the truth of life, and they take shelter of various philosophies. But because they don't take shelter of Bhagavad Dharma, they become completely frustrated
And that frustrated produces krodham. And that krodham ultimately leads to a position in life where they become attached to material enjoyment because they see there's no hope here. Why should I engage? Let me just give up and go back to a materialistic way of life. At least I was getting a drop of happiness there. But now I'm not getting any happiness. So this is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if one doesn't take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their position isn't secured. Yenaiva vindaksha vimuktimanias tvayastha bhava avashuddha buddhaya arurukrinshena param padam tata padantyato nandritya yusma angriyaha. This verse is appearing in the prayers of the demigods when Krishna is about to appear. And they're explaining that those who take shelter of other processes of spiritual elevation, their conception of liberation is only a mental concoction. It's not actually factual. Because we see by their activities, they fall back into a materialistic conception of life. And this same principle is explained by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Ashradadana purushaha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya manivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. That those who aren't faithful on the path of devotional service, they have to fall down into mrityu samsara vartmani again. So the position of not taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it only produces fear, frustration, and entanglement. So Srila Prabhupada, in his purport to this verse, Vitaraga Bhayakrodha, he explains that these three things need to be removed. The fear of personal existence, the anger that comes from taking shelter of imperfect philosophies, and the attachment to material life. These things need to be removed completely. And this is why our acharyas speak out so strongly against the principles of impersonalism, Mayavad. Mayavad bhasya sunale hoy sarvanash. The Mayavad philosophy is just like a kind of poison. Because although the practitioners promise elevation for their students, it actually only leads in degradation. It produces this anger, it produces this fear, and it produces this raga. It doesn't produce elevation beyond the material miseries of life. Actually, they become completely entangled. And this is because the Mayavadis, from the get-go, they begin at an offensive disposition. They say that Krishna, the living entity in the material world, are all ultimately Maya. And the living entity's sole purpose is to realize Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. But Madhva Acharya points out that as soon as you say Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya, your philosophy of Kevaladvaita becomes completely destroyed because you've already created a dualistic conception. By saying Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya, you're saying that Brahman is real, but Jagat is false. So you already have a contradiction in your philosophy. So what is the proper understanding? Krishna explains that Maya isn't him. Maya is coming from him. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hentu antena kunteya jagat viparya vartate. That this material energy is coming from me, and that those who deride my personal form. Avan janti man mundha manusim tanum ashrita param bhava majananto mama bhutva maheshwaram. Krishna directly calls them mudhas, asses, rascals, because they directly deny the personal existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as long as the personal conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not established, there's no question of the elevation for the living entity. So what is the activities of those who deny the existence of Krishna existing as a fully transcendental person? Krishna goes on to explain mogasya moga karma no moga jnana vichetasa rakshasim asurim shaiva prakritim mohinim shritaha. Not only does Krishna call them mudhas, but he calls them rakshasas, that because they've completely rejected a personal conception of Krishna. Now one could say, why do we have to speak so strongly on these particular things? Why are the acharyas giving no room for another explanation? It's because Mayavadis, their whole philosophy is based on the conception of Gonavritti. They give an indirect explanation of the statements of the Vedas. And because of these indirect statements, they completely mislead the masses of people and bring them down into a lower conception of life. So the Vaishnavs, they consult the Guru Shastra and Sadhu when referencing the rest of the Vedas. They consult a dictionary called the Amara Kosha Dictionary. And by referencing this Amara Kosha Dictionary, they established the Mukhya Vritti, which is the direct explanation of the Vedas. And through that direct explanation, they're able to engage in a proper process of spiritual realization. A common example of these indirect explanations is from the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Dharma Setre Kurukshetra. And what do Mayavadis say? They say that Kurukshetra is a representation of the material body. But Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, they clearly state Kurukshetra is a place, you can go there, you can see where Krishna spoke. It's not a metaphorical indirect explanation, it's a direct explanation. And if there is a direct explanation, the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita directly point out that this is an indirect explanation. An example of this is the story of Maharaj Parichini Barhi in Paranjana, where Narada Muni uses it as an allegory to describe this king's life as a story of King Paranjana. Therefore, it's very, very important that we learn to accept the direct meaning that's coming from the Shastra and not conjure up some indirect meaning. We have to stick to the principle of hearing from the previous Acharyas with submission and not concocting something with our own mind. And the reason why our Acharyas have to speak so strongly on this is because Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is saying, Matat paratanam nanyat kinchinasti dananjaya mai sarvamidam protam shruti manigananiva. That there is no truth higher than me. Krishna is personally saying there's no truth higher than me as a person. And so if there's any conception of Mayavad, if there's any trace of Mayavad existing, then bhakti cannot be preached in full force. So it has to be removed completely from the root. And if a tinge of desire is present within the heart of a living entity who's engaging in a process of spiritual elevation, then they won't ultimately be able to taste the fruit. If there's a tinge of Mayavad mixed in with our devotional service, then we won't actually taste the ultimate goal of Krishna Prema, Prema Pumartho Mahan, because we're committing an offense in our conception. It's explained in the Harinam Chintamani that if one is chanting Hare Krishna, but their conception of chanting Hare Krishna is that they'll become Krishna through that chanting, then they are actually creating more problems for themselves. They're not getting any elevation. They're actually degrading themselves due to an improper conception. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains bhukti mukti adi vacha jadi mani hoy sadhana koila prema upadana na hoy. That even if one appears to be engaging in the activities of bhakti, if they're maintaining a desire for material enjoyment through Mayavad philosophy, or they're maintaining a desire for mukti through impersonal philosophy, then they won't ultimately be able to taste the fruit of sadhana. And the fruit of sadhana is bhava. This is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami. And the example of this is very clearly mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita with the story of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and Ramdas Visvas. Ramdas Visvas, he seemed to be existing as a bhakta. He seemed to be existing as a nice practitioner of sadhana bhakti. And so much so that Raghunath Bhatta was okay with him coming along with him to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Puri. But when Raghunath Bhatta showed up and met Jagannath and met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Raghunath Bhatta and didn't even turn an eye to Ramdas Visvas. And it's all based on improper conception. Therefore, the Vaishnavas, particularly the Vaishnavas coming in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has harmonized the teachings of the four Vaishnava Sampradayas. And he's presented a very direct explanation of the conclusions of the Vedanta. And because of this direct explanation, he is giving hope to the world. He's giving hope to the world through propounding a philosophy in which people won't become strayed by Mayavad or impersonalism or material enjoyment, and one can actually make solid progress to the ultimate goal of life. So what is that conclusion? What are those teachings that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling the world to take shelter of? This is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Chaitanya Manjushya. Aradiyo Bhagavan Vrajeshas Tanayas Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramyam Kachirupasanam Vrajavadur Gargena Yakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Premam Pumartho Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Tamanidam Tatodaro Napara. I looked on the Veda base yesterday. Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse at least 75 times in all of his books and lectures. And this verse is presenting the five most important principles of of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. The first one is a Radio Bhagavan Vrajesus, that the supreme conception of Bhagavan is Krishna existing in Vrindavan. And the second teaching is that that Krishna who's existing in Vrindavan is non-different from that abode of Vrindavan. So we can develop love for these things. Everyone has a natural propensity to develop love. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, give your love to Krishna. And everyone has a natural attachment to the place that they're from, a place, a land, a piece of land that they grew up in, or a place of land that they spent a lot of time in. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, develop that love for the land of Vrindavan. Develop awareness of that land of Vrindavan. Become very specific in your desire for Vrindavan. And then he goes on to say, Ramyam kachu dupasanam vajravadur vargyena yakalpita. That the topmost type of worship is the type of worship rendered by the cowherd girls of Vrindavan. And what is their standard of worship? Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, anyone who renders service onto him, yeyatam mam prapadyante tamsataiva bhajamyaham, that anyone who renders service onto him, he will reciprocate accordingly. But the nature of the love of the cowherd girls of Vrindavan is such, na pareham, he's not able to repay. So what was he unable to repay? He's unable to repay their consciousness. Their consciousness was a complete embodiment of the verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Manmana mamabad bhakto majigi mam namaskru. They are always thinking of Krishna. Although they are engaging in simple household duties and engaging in, you know, very menial services around their respective residences, regardless, their mind was always thinking of Krishna. When Krishna was out in the field playing with his friends, they were thinking, there's thorns on the path in the forest of Vrindavan, and Krishna's feet could be getting hurt. So despite the fact that Krishna's miles away from them, their mind is completely there. Sometimes when we're away from the temple, we may not necessarily be thinking, oh, how are the deities doing? Are they being cared for nicely? If one's a pujari, probably this consciousness is taking place. This idea is developing. Where is Krishna? How is Krishna doing? Is he safe? Is he being cared for nicely? I remember Savas Prabhu told me a story once. I don't know if I'm supposed to share this, but I'm going to, and I apologize. He had a dream once, and I think it was Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said, what about the deities? And Savas Prabhu immediately realized that caring for the deities was a very, very important aspect of devotional service. So now we see the standard of deity worship. I was telling Gauranga Prema this morning during Mangal Arti. We're so fortunate to have such an amazing temple where the pujaris are so attentive to their service. The standard of cleanliness, the dressing, everything is so wonderful. And it's meant to create this consciousness of always thinking of Krishna and never forgetting him. And how does one develop this consciousness? Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamam Alam. Study the Srimad Bhagavatam. First, you start with the Bhagavad Gita. Become very aware of how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Become very aware of Krishna's own arguments for establishing his supremacy. And when one is fixed in that understanding of the Bhagavad Gita, then one should move on to the Srimad Bhagavatam. To what? Prema Pumartho Mahan. To cultivate this ultimate goal of life of Krishna Prema. And we can see that anyone who comes in contact with Krishna Katha, they become moved by it. There's a nice shloka in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Atma Ramas Chamunayo, that whoever they meet may be, Atma Ramas and Munis, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's various explanations for the Atma Ramas and Munis may be. If they come in contact with the process of devotional service, they can be moved by that. The example of this is Sugadev Goswami. Although he was a Brahmavadi, someone who was attached to an impersonal conception of Krishna, still, he was elevated by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam. Another example of this is the Kumaras, the four Kumaras. Simply by smelling the fragrance that was coming from Krishna's lotus feet, they became attracted to the principles of devotional service. So it's the duty of every living entity to put themselves in front of the sound vibration of a bona fide representative of the Vedanta Sutra. Anyone who puts themselves in front of this sound vibration and hears from the right person, their heart will be transformed. In relationship to this, there's a wonderful anecdote of one of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples. He had a disciple who was very attached to a Mayavad conception of life. And he was going and hearing from Bhaktisiddhanta. And he knew all the arguments, so he would raise his hand and try to speak during class. But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati would never give him any attention. He would just continue speaking about the pastimes of Krishna, speaking on the proper conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, the inconceivable oneness and difference of the living entity in Krishna. He was speaking like this for going on and on, and this devotee was never able to get his idea across. And then one day, this devotee, he went and heard from a Mayavad orator, and in the middle of the class, he began to realize that his conception had completely changed. The Mayavadi would say a particular conclusion, and he could defeat that argument. And then he would say another conclusion, and he would defeat that argument. So simply by submissively hearing from the proper representative of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then one's fear, one's frustration, and one's entanglement with the material energy can be completely removed, and one can be established in the proper conclusion of devotional service. Hare Krishna. So if there's any discussion, questions, reflections, comments... All right. If there's nothing to say, thank you. Pancha kalpa trumbhascha kripa sindhu eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.